these workers are being treated, you know, treated unfairly. They're being disrespected, you know, treated inhumanely.
Largely Latino?
Largely Latino, yes. As you know, the construction workforce in the city is overwhelmingly Hispanic. Contractors, what they do basically is hire a foreman that knows other workers, you know, in the Hispanic community. They don't have a pushman. Basically, to hire more workers to push the workers, they know it, they can get away with that more with a Hispanic worker than, let's say, African American or Caucasian that may perhaps know the rights better. So that's a task, is educating workers on what your rights are. A lot of workers are afraid because, well, you know, immigration isn't always the issue. It's just that they don't know the laws. They don't know that there's labor laws. You know, they don't know that they have labor rights. They have human rights. You know, there was a good number of workers from this site. I've been talking to one of the organizers that was on the site that were ready to stand up today. Apparently, there was a meeting that was held, and they were intimidated and basically told, if you come out here and demonstrate, you're going to get fired. You know, which is always the case. So the companies run a fear campaign.
The workers here are not unionized?
No, Southland workers here are not unionized.
Is that largely the case with the Latino workforce that is building so many of the buildings, amongst other jobs in D.C., not unionized often?
That's correct. That's correct. And that's been a task as far as bringing workers together to build, you know, just to build power in the communities, you know, by coming together on various issues, not just labor, you know, but the other economic, social, the whole immigration issue, all these laws that are being passed right now, you know, it sometimes feel as though the folks that are passing the law know that Hispanic folks lack organization, you know, like we're not organized, you know, you have the Salvadoran, the Mexican over here, the Dominican and Puerto Rican, we're not really working together. And if you look at historically, every immigrant, you know, throughout the history of this country, there have been groups of immigrants that come in and they went through the whole process of organizing, right? That's how unions were built, right? The Polish did it, the Irish did it, Germans did it, right? And then those folks organize, they form unions, they assimilate into the culture. Now the new workforce is looked at as a threat. You know, oh, they're pretty much coming in, they're threatening, you know, our lifestyle. You know, the economy, we're just blaming the economy on the new wave of immigrants. You know, so that's all part of coming out here and organizing a community, not just around labor, it's all around all the other social, economic, you know, the immigration issue. You know, down the road, what I see is needing to work to build power among working people. Period. This ain't just Hispanic workers. It's about Black workers, Hispanic workers, building a Black and Brown coalition. You know, because right now, because this contractor's here, they're doing work in D.C. These folks are from Virginia. The contractor's from Virginia. The African-American in the community looks at the Hispanic as a threat. They're taking the jobs, right? That's been the claim. But look at who owns Southland, who owns Clark, who owns these companies. It's not the Hispanic, right? The contractor is the one that does the hiring, you know? The contractor is the one that undercuts these workers and overlooks African-Americans. So as long as we're down here at the bottom of the hill duking it out for the jobs, the contractors are laughing, you know, with that check to the bank. But once we're down here at the bottom of the hill, we start organizing and saying, okay, so we're both the working people here, right? Let's organize around these issues. Make sure we get D.C. residents on a job. After that, you can bring folks from other areas. And then make sure we're all making the scale. You know, the scale that was set, of course, by, you know, Davis Bacon, prevailing wages. So that's part of the conversation. But that's just the big picture of it.
What happens without a union if wages are taken or a worker gets hurt on the job?
Well, what happens when, let's say, on this particular job, if a worker gets injured, 8 times out of 10, he's going to probably, because he's been told that if you get hurt and you report it, you're going to get fired. So what do you think the worker's going to do if he gets hurt? And it's something that's not like life-threatening. He probably scraped his knee or he probably twisted his ankle. He might just work through it. And that's what happens in a lot of cases. It's not reported because of the fact that, because of the education. Companies aren't going to take time to educate, a non-unit company is not going to take time to educate a worker on what his rights are on the job site. Let's be honest. He's not. You know, we do know that of course is a factor when we're talking about a union contractor, where, you know, where before a worker gets out on jobs, you know, he's familiar with with some of the what ifs that can happen on a job, you know, the safety issues, safety factors. You know, and if he gets hurt, he knows that he can report it or what have you. So we see that, we see the opposite on non-union contractors. And it's not, you see historically, especially over the course of the last 10 years, a lot of injuries have not been reported. And I actually, there's an article that that I had posted on Sojourners, and you know, if you remember Sojourners, that went into some details and facts and details about the incidents that are not reported. And I'd like to forward that to you. You can actually read it.
Please.
Yeah. But it basically breaks down the numbers of all the injuries that occur in the United States, and a lot of them, of course, that occur aren't reported. You know, so the report's only going to show you what's being reported. And of course, a lot of Hispanics are not reporting injuries because of the fear of being fired.
Raymond, it's hot outside. I mean, this protest, you know, we've been out here an hour. I've been out here less than that.
Yeah, and we're like sweating bullets.
And I'm looking at the workers. This is heavy equipment, you know, got to wear enough clothes to protect yourself, jeans.
And
can you talk about how difficult this work is?
What happened?
Can you talk about how difficult this work is?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, before I was organizing with LAUNA, I was out in the field actually as a construction laborer and demolition. So I know about the 16-hour, 20-hour days under the sun. And it's tough. It's really tough.